The Later Life by Luis Cuperos. Translated by Alexander Teixeira de Matos. Translator's Note: The Later Life is the second of the books of The Small Souls, following immediately upon Small Souls, the novel that gives the title to the series. In the present story, Cuperos reverts, at times and in a measure, to that earlier sensitivist method, which he abandoned almost wholly in Small Souls, and which he again abandons in The Twilight of the Souls and in Dr. Adrian, the third and fourth novels of the series. Chapter 1. Van der Velke woke that morning from a long, sound sleep and stretched himself luxuriously in the warmth of the sheets. But suddenly he remembered what he had been dreaming, and as he did so, he gazed into the wardrobe glass, in which he could just see himself from his pillow. A smile began to flicker about his curly moustache. His blue eyes lit up with merriment. The sheets, which still covered his body, he had flung his arms above his head, rose and fell with the ripple of his silent chuckles, and suddenly, irrepressibly, he burst into a loud guffaw. "Addy!" he shouted, roaring with laughter. "Addy! Are you up? Addy! Come here for a minute!" The door between the two rooms opened. Addy entered. "Addy! Just imagine! Just imagine what I've been dreaming! It was at the seaside, Ostende, or Scheveningen or somewhere, and everybody... Everybody was going about half naked, their legs bare, and the rest beautifully dressed. The men had coloured shirts and light jackets and exquisite ties and straw hats, gloves and a stick in their hands. The rest was stark naked. The ladies wore lovely blouses, magnificent hats, parasols, and that was all. And there was nothing in it, Addy. Really, there was nothing in it. It was all quite natural, quite proper, quite fashionable. And they walked about like that, and sat on chairs and listened to the music. And the fishermen, Addy, went about like that too. And the musicians in the bandstand were half naked too. And the tails of their dress coats hung down, well, like that." Van der Velke, as he told his dream in broken sentences, lay shaking with laughter. His whole bed shook, the sheets rose and fell, he was red in the face, as if on the verge of choking. He wept as though consumed with grief. He gasped for breath, threw the bedclothes off. "Just imagine it! Just imagine it! You never saw such a stretch of sands as that!" Addy had begun by listening with his usual serious face, but when he saw his father crying and gasping for breath, rolled about in the bed, and when the vision of those sands became clearer to his imagination, he also was seized with irresistible laughter. But he had one peculiarity, that he could not laugh outright, but, shaken with internal merriment, would laugh in his stomach without uttering a sound. And he now sat on the edge of his father's bed, rocking with silent laughter as the bed rocked under him. He tried not to look at his father, for, when he saw his father's face, distorted and purple with his paroxysms of laughter, lying on the white pillow like the mask of some fawn, he had to make agonized clutches at his stomach, and bent double to try to laugh outright. And he couldn't. Doesn't it strike you as funny? Asked Van der Velke, hearing no sound of laughter from his son. And he looked at Addy, and suddenly remembering that Addy could never roar with laughter out loud, he became still merrier at the sight of his poor boy's silent throes, his noiseless stomach laugh, until his own laughter rang through the room, echoing back from the walls, filling the whole room with loud Homeric mirth. "Oh, father, stop!" said Addy at last, a little relieved by his internal paroxysms, the tears streaming in wet streaks down his face. And he heaved a sigh of despair that he could not laugh like his father. "Give me a pencil and..."